Dear friends in Christ Jesus, once again I extend you all a very warm welcome to you to this Eucharistic celebration, second Sunday of Lent. A pastor who took a new church soon learned he had his hands full with two of his members who were twin brothers when they began to second-guess every decision he made and disagree with all his sermons. Then he learned from other members that these wicked brothers ran off the last pastor and constantly keep the church in turmoil. So the pastor, being a man of integrity, began to pray for the brothers and preached his heart out Sunday after Sunday. The pastor would preach the truth of God's word, calling sin, sin, not sugarcoat anything, which made the brothers even more hostile toward him. And as a result of the truth being preached, God began to bless the church, and it grew so much that it did not have enough space. So they started a building program. Soon after, one of the brothers died. The other brother went to the pastor and told him he was turning over a new leaf in his life and wanted to donate $1 million to the church for the sanctuary. The only catch was he wanted the pastor to tell everyone at the funeral that his brother was a saint. If the pastor would simply say those words, he would donate $1 million. Now the pastor, who was a man of integrity, struggled with making such a statement. His greatest fear was misleading people from the pulpit. But he also thought how $1 million would solve all the church's space problems and open the door to minister to more people. So on the day of the funeral, the pastor stood over the coffin and said, "This man was a rotten, vile, deceptive sinner, but compared to his brother, he was a saint." Sinner turned into saint. Human Jesus turned into divine in the story of Transfiguration. And my dear friends, when you see the glory of Jesus, you will know who really he is. When Jesus was on the mountain, the Mount Tabor, the scripture says he was transfigured. The Greek word is the verb metamorpho. We get our word metamorphosis from it. It means change on the outside, which comes from within. When a caterpillar changes into butterfly, metamorphosis has occurred. Jesus was changed from an ordinary looking man into a figure of light with brilliant beams radiating from his body. The reason his clothes became white was from the light emanating from his body. I can just imagine Simon Peter rubbing his eyes, wondering if he was really seeing what he thought he was seeing. And in the Old Testament, God often revealed himself through a blazing radiance, and that is called glory of God. When Moses first dedicated the tabernacle in the wilderness, a brilliant light, a cloud filled the tabernacle so that the priests were not able to look at it. And again, so that is the glory of God and the Shekinah, the glory of God. And again, when Solomon, the King Solomon, who dedicated a temple to God, again the glory of God was revealed. And in the first reading today, we see the story of Abraham, who God asked him to offer his son, and we witness the glory of God, how it is manifested. And the Bible says the priest, when they brought the Ark of the Covenants to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath wings of the cherubim, the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and priests could not perform their service. Because of the cloud, the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. And this is what happening. The glory of God is manifested on Mount Tabor. This is very important event in Jesus' life, transfiguration. It confirms he was not merely a man, he was God in the flesh. Pope Leo, he talks about the transfiguration. The great reason for this transfiguration was to remove the scandal of the cross, the humiliation, death, from the hearts of his disciples, and to prevent the humiliation of his voluntary suffering from disturbing the faith of those who had witnessed his surpassing glory that is hidden in him. And for Jesus' most of his 33 years of human existence, his human flesh has obscured and veiled his divinity, his deity. But during transfiguration, his true divine nature was revealed. When you see Jesus at his return, he won't be the olive-skinned, brown-haired human version who walked in the dusty roads of Galilee. He will be the glorified Christ that the apostles witnessed during transfiguration, as Peter saw him. Some people claim that when they see Jesus, they are going to run up and give him a holy hug. No. We all will fall before him, and we all will kneel down before him and Jesus the Savior. All our tongues will confess that. Prophet Isaiah was worshiping the glory of God in the Jerusalem temple. He fell to his face and said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Holy, holy, holy Lord." And the second lesson from this transfiguration reflection, and it prepares us for Jesus' second coming, because Jesus manifested his glory, and that glory, you and I will participate in that glory, and that is why God is preparing us through this faithful journey. And Jesus was giving the disciples a preview of his return. We do not know when Jesus is coming back. Throughout the history, there have been religious nuts who claimed to know the exact day when Jesus would return. They were all wrong. And when you hear someone else predict the day of his second coming, you can know they are speaking lies. Jesus said, "Nobody knows the day, the hour, only the Father in heaven." But Jesus told us to be ready, and we are to be ready and vigilant always, prepared. He said, "You must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at any hour and which you do not expect him." And here, during the transfiguration story, we have another character. Moses and Elijah meet Jesus here. Why not Noah? Why not Jonah, Prophet Jonah? Why not Abraham? Why not King David? Once you understand the significance of Moses and Elijah, you will begin to see why Jesus allowed the disciples to witness his transfiguration, and why these two characters appeared. Moses represents the law, the first five books of the Old Testament, and Prophet Elijah represents the prophets, and the prophets who had talked about the coming of Jesus. And Moses' writings foreshadowed the coming of Jesus. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And Jesus' death, as the second reading talks about, Jesus died and raised and seated at the right hand of the Father. And his glory that is going to happen in Mount Calvary is the summary of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. And moreover, Moses and Elijah, these two characters, and their death happened in a unique way in the among the Old Testament heroes. Moses, he is the forerunner of those who will be raised up when Jesus is coming. The last chapter of Deuteronomy talks about Moses' death. Moses died, and before that, God took him to a tall mountain and showed him the promised land that he would not enter. And Moses died there and says, God buried him there. To this day, no one knows where the Moses' grave is. And there is a Jewish writing that talks about the assumption of Moses, which claims Moses' corpse was assumed into heaven. We do not know for sure, but when you jump over to the little book of Jude in the New Testament, you read that Archangel Michael disputed with the devil about the body of Moses. So it's entirely possible Moses was raised, because there he was on Mount Tabor with Jesus, 1600 years later, standing before Jesus. And finally, he got to enter the promised land, because Mount Tabor is in the heart of the promised land. And the Bible says when Jesus returns, the death in Christ will rise first. Paul wrote, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the death in Christ will rise first. And Moses foreshadows all those who buried already, and they will be raised to participate in the glory that is manifested in transfiguration. Moses is a representative of all the precious saints who have died. When Jesus returns, these bodies buried will be resurrected, and we will live with those folks with the Lord forever. Have you had your loved one who has already passed, died? Perhaps your grandparents or parents or spouse, children have already died. People always want to know if we will recognize our loved ones in heaven. Well, Moses and Elijah, they lived two different times in history. They were distinct persons and they were recognized. How did Peter and James and John, they could recognize them. They had never seen them before. And were they wearing name tags that said, hello, my name is Elijah? Obviously not. And my dear friends, so Moses, he is the forerunner of those who buried, and they will be raised to participate in the glory. And prophet Elijah, he is the one who is the forerunner of who will be alive at that time when Jesus is coming. Prophet Elijah did not die. We know exactly what happened to him. We are told in the book of 2 Kings 2, Prophet Elijah did not die. Instead, he was caught up by a chariot of fire, was taken in heaven in a whirlwind. That's what going to happen to those who are alive when Jesus comes back, and they will be caught up in heaven, and then they will participate in the glory that was manifested during the transfiguration. And my dear friends, the final message and the reflection for us today, and we need to lend our ear to the voice of the beloved son. The beloved son Abraham offered in the first reading, wanted to offer, and God did not spare his son, and he handed him for us. And that is the beloved son, and with whom God is well pleased, and we are to listen to him. And Peter was overwhelmed by the transfiguration, by seeing Moses and Elijah. He said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And Peter missed the point. He suggested to build three shrines, one for Moses, one for Jesus, and one for Elijah. Peter made the mistake of putting Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah. That is the same belief our Muslim brothers embrace. They claim that Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, they were all great prophets. But Jesus was not the Son of God according to them. But to clear up any misconception, God the Father spoke from heaven, said, this is my Son, whom I love, well pleased, and listen to him. And when they looked up, Elijah and Moses were gone, only Jesus was there. They saw only Jesus when the Heavenly Father declared, "This is my beloved Son." In a nutshell, and these two words summarize God's plan for the ages. Jesus only. It's not Buddha, it's not Muhammad, it's not Confucius, it's not Shiva, it's not Krishna, it's Jesus only, the way to heaven. And it's not the Big Bang theory, it was not evolution, it was not chance, it is only Jesus, he is the way to salvation, and with whom the Heavenly Father is well pleased, and he wants us to lend our ears and be obedient to his commands.